So firstly, give things a chance. You know, don't shy away. Go out of your comfort zone. Take that chance. And only after you take the chance, you will know whether, you know, how strong you are. And you will not regret. You will actually be able to get further because you know that you have already crossed that bridge of, you know, taking the chance. So that's my first advice.
Welcome to Extend Women in Tech podcast. We are a tech community podcast highlighting stories of women in tech and inspiring everyone in the tech. We aim to provide a platform for sharing experiences, insights, and success stories that inspire and empower others in this dynamic industry. I'm your host, Ade Tarefa.
And I am Jonah Anderson, and we are the hosts of this podcast, Extend Women in Tech. And in today's episode, we have Sushita Gwate from Cleveland, Ohio, USA. And before we brought in speak with her, let me just properly introduce Sushita. So Sushita, our guest speaker for this episode, is a passionate techie. She is an Azure enthusiast, and she works in healthcare IT infrastructure in the U.S. She manages an endpoint engineering team in a large healthcare organization, and she also specializes in modern management and enterprise mobility, which leveraging Azure and Endpoint Configuration Manager. She is a 12 times Microsoft certified professional who loves learning tech, diving into ever evolving technologies from Microsoft, and collaborating for knowledge sharing with tech enthusiasts. She participates in various events hosted by MVPs in the community, and she also recently presented at a Microsoft Community Days conference. Welcome, Sushita Gwate, for in our podcast, and we're so happy to have you here.
Thank you so much. It is an honor for me, Jonna and Seri, to be a part of your podcast, and I'm looking forward to this conversation today.
Yes, you're welcome, and we're so happy that you woke up very early for this podcast episode, considering the time difference we have between USA and Sweden. So we do appreciate your time and your effort in this guest podcasting.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. My pleasure.
Yes, that's great. And you have a very interesting profile, and I'm so excited to learn more about what you do. And usually in this podcast, the purpose that we have is to inspire others that are getting started into tech, and also to highlight your interesting story and how you got into the field. So our first question already is that, how did you get into technology and start working as a technologist and enthusiast in your field?
Yes, sure. And I am definitely a proud woman in tech, but to give you a background of my story, since a young age, I have been captivated by computers. My initial exposure in school sparked a passion in me to delve into computers. While the medical field never appealed to me as a career path, you know, engineering stood out as a great alternative back then. And I grew up in a city which was renowned for its exceptional universities and engineering institutions. So the decision to pursue a technological education was an obvious one for me. The educational landscape, coupled with the emergence of multinational IT corporations in the vicinity of my city back then, that made it easier for me to get into a tech career. So I secured a position back then at Dell Technologies as my first job. And I was really fortunate for that. It really set the stage for me for a rewarding journey in the tech industry. So that's how I got into tech, and I'm so grateful to have taken that decision and step early on in my life.
Okay, thanks for sharing. Were you already like, how was it when you were younger? I mean, when you were younger, did you thought to yourself as a technologist working in the IT industry, or you had a different interest back then before you got into this one?
I always wanted to work in the IT industry because it was a booming field when I was a child. And like I said, the medical area never really appealed me. So since very early young age, I was always thinking about, getting into the computers field, which obviously was, more progressive towards IT and information technology. Definitely was the best alternative and a prestigious alternative for anyone out there back in the day.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's amazing. It's interesting to hear your story.
Yeah, I would like to add about the technologies and platform use. Did you start your career with? Can you elaborate a bit about that?
Absolutely. I fortunately started working on Microsoft technology platform back then, and at the time, Microsoft was making advancements with its Windows installer, that is the MSI technology, back in 2007. And it is a technique that makes deployment of a single software to mass computers easy with a click of a button. So that was a revolutionary developing technology. And I got to work into that area. Again, very grateful for that. It is supposed to be a very hands-off approach with deploying software to large organization enterprise environments. So Windows installer coupled with the application virtualization technology, again, something that Microsoft was really making developments with back in that time. So I tried to learn in those areas. I tried to advance my skill set and talents with regards to those technologies. And that's what really laid a foundation for me in the desktop field. So those really were the technologies that I started working with at the time.
That's interesting. I am interested now with as a follow-up questions about desktop technologies back then bearing today. So what's your perspective or point of view in terms of the desktop technologies that you started with working when you were starting your career compared to the different types of technologies that we have today with cloud computing, like for example, with Microsoft Azure, that it's not just about desktop applications anymore, but more on mobility and having your applications anywhere globally. So what's your, like, how did you see that journey from desktop to the cloud computing part and the platforms that you still also work today?
Yes, absolutely, because I feel the technologies have transformed greatly or drastically, and obviously for the better. They've only gotten better from the standpoint of, manageability and mobility, like you mentioned. Back in the day, as I mentioned, I worked on the Windows installer MSI technology, which today has advanced into MSIX. So we still have Windows installer around, but it is more combined in the form of a virtual platform as well. So MSIX is kind of a blend of the regular MSI as well as some application virtualization methodologies. And on the other hand, back in the day, we had the SMS, which is the systems management server, which was used for centrally managing desktops or endpoints, which has today transformed into SCCM, which is the System Center Configuration Manager. But talking about the cloud side of it, we have Intune or the Microsoft Endpoint Configuration Manager, as we call it today. It's been the names have been changing so often. So today it's called MECM. So an MECM or Intune is part of Azure. So it has definitely progressed and transformed into a cloud solution. And Intune is really a cloud native solution for endpoint management to be able to centrally manage and administer employees' devices. So yes, there have been great developments, and I think today with the cloud edge to it, it's really easy to have like a modern management experience or have enterprise mobility inbuilt.
Okay. That's great. I myself, thank you for that. I feel I'm really like curious about Intune because I know I work with Microsoft Azure, but more on the DevOps and cloud native development side. So, and .NET as well, the Microsoft programming technology. So when you hear about like working with enterprise mobility and endpoint configuration manager tools, such as Intune, so that really makes me very interested in a way that how it is like who are the people that are like responsible for this. So usually your role kind of like you work with the management to control all those devices with Intune as a tool. How does it work? I'm just curious, how is your day-to-day kind of like task looks like in the career that you work, career role that you have with this technology?
Sure. So I currently lead an endpoint engineering team in a role that blends technical skills with the management and development of my team. And as their manager, of course, I have to balance like a hands-on technical work as well as oversee team projects and invest time in mentoring and coaching my colleagues. But our team specializes in designing, engineering, and implementing endpoint solutions. So we focus on optimizing desktop environments and fortifying the security measures on employees' work devices. And as part of device management, we put controls in place to centrally administer those devices, regardless of their physical location. So that's where enterprise mobility comes into picture. We optimize device features for business use, including the Windows operating system. Obviously, Windows 11, which is the latest and greatest out there. We deploy and update software on the devices. We configure settings. We enforce security and policies. And we also monitor the devices. And we do all of this using Intune for the most part. It really makes it easy. The Intune tool is very, gives a lot of options to you to be able to centrally manage and properly administer devices. It also gives you controls like you can remotely wipe a device or you can remotely lock a device. And by devices, I don't just mean Windows devices, but I also mean mobile devices. So it's not just the management of devices, but it is also administering the platforms themselves. So I have to be abreast with what's latest, what latest versions of these platforms are out there. And Intune obviously gets upgraded by itself because it's cloud native, but on the on-prem side, I have to make efforts to manually upgrade my environments. So I take care of not just the devices through these tools, but also the tools themselves.
Oh, interesting. I'm very curious to know that the significance of managing work devices in a healthcare IT infrastructure. And also in an Azure endpoint management system like the role you have currently, what kind of security measures do you employ to ensure the security of work devices?
For the most part, when it comes to endpoints, Defender for Endpoints is a great tool or technique that can be used to secure your devices. So we definitely leverage Defender. But apart from that, like I mentioned, we do monthly updates or patches onto systems, which is essential because Microsoft Windows operating system needs monthly updates, security updates or quality updates, feature updates. Those all come into play as part of hardening the Windows OS. So we also put policies around restricting what someone can do on a device. Again, I'm talking about laptops or desktops that employees use, as well as their mobile phones. So it's all about, and I feel for any organization when they are to centrally manage and administer devices, the goal is really to secure the data and the devices. So it all starts with security. So security, I think, is at the crux. And everything flows out from that point on. So security is what comes first, and then everything, all the organizational or business requirements and configurations come as a secondary step. So when I say we are centrally managing devices, it's really about how do I secure them? And how do employees, get a good device experience or get a good user experience out of those devices with having that security in place? So that's really the gist of device management, I would say.
Yeah, interesting. Thank you. But I have also another follow-up question. Do you have any insights on while trying to keep up the up to date with the devices? Have you have any challenges?
Yes.
Any examples would be interesting to know.
There always are challenges because when it, like, even as simple as the monthly patches that we have to push out to all the devices, it's really not an ideal scenario where you would be able to capture 100% of your devices. Or you would even be able to reach 100% of your devices. You know, there are certain organizations that are so large that have 100,000 employees. And to be able to reach every single device, to update them within that particular time period of the month is not probably possible at all times. So it is difficult to reach machines. We try and, from an IT standpoint, the aim is to try and get to as many endpoints as possible in an effort to secure them and to patch them. And I don't think any organization would really go to 100% of patching every month. But that's really what we strive for from an IT standpoint, from an endpoint management standpoint. So that's one of the pain points. Secondly, having worked in a healthcare environment, the challenges that I have noticed are where some machines out there in the environment are really sensitive to, say, reboots. So when I talk about patching comes with a subsequent reboot to the system. If the systems are not rebooted, the patches really don't take effect in most cases. So there are machines which are, in a hospital environment, which may be in use in the operation theater, in the emergency room. So I really cannot go in any time and reboot those machines. They have to have a specific window in which I can touch them. So those are kind of the challenges that I see, as far as being able to properly manage and administer and secure these devices.
Okay, that's interesting, and I can understand it's in a health field or healthcare field. I can understand that you have to wait and have this maintenance time frame in order to reboot these machines on from, and also the other challenges that you highlighted, Sushita. I have another follow-up questions because I think this is interesting field for me, or is a topic as well, and I'm glad that you are sharing your knowledge about it. So one of the things that I have in my mind right now is, do you think there's still a challenge for many organizations today adopting cloud or hybrid cloud into, like, making sure that they're endpoint management for their organizations or user devices are being managed? Do you still see that challenge, or do you see that most companies are onboarded with this already.
I feel moving to the cloud is definitely a good stride into advancement. However, certain organizations may have limitations. So for instance, healthcare again is a great example where if they really want to keep their data native and not move it to the cloud, they might be hesitant to move to the cloud, in which case they might use a hybrid approach, if not fully cloud-based. Again, in a hybrid approach, talking about healthcare specifically, as far as device management goes, we have the auto patch capability with device updates recently with Intune and with Azure. But with auto patch, it's more like a hands-off approach where it will take care of patching your systems automatically and you wouldn't have to do anything. But then at the same time, I think Microsoft is still trying to put more controls into it so that IT can still have some control, because that is necessary in a healthcare environment. And that's just one example. You know, there may be other industries where it's required as well. But I feel that, you know, as long as IT has some more control, obviously along with the automated side of it, that would help. Because like I was giving you an example of machines that are very sensitive to reboots, for instance. So I would still want to be able to keep those machines aside or try and have a different maintenance for them. So I cannot just have AutoPatch do its thing and, you know, do a hands-off approach there, because I still want that control. So I feel that's where certain organizations may still be struggling a little bit with some cloud decisions. But other than that, I feel... having managed Intune devices through Intune, it really makes things much, much easier, you know, to manage devices in a modern way. So it gives you more controls, more options overall. So I feel, you know, going to the cloud side of it is definitely helpful. And that's what organizations should do today. But again, there may be like government organizations who still want, you know, certain controls, and they have restrictions for like, you know, from their data standpoint. So they may still prefer to stay on-prem for a certain period of time. However, we do have the government high tenant, the GCC tenant, which is like the government side of Intune or Azure. So that definitely helps.
Yes. Yeah. Interesting stuff. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing about that. Now, we have more follow up questions, because the more you share, my mind gets like interested. I'm sorry. I'm asking you random questions now. I'm sorry about that. But, one
fine.
Thing that I'm just curious, and when I'm curious, I ask questions. So, one of the things that I came up and now in my mind as you share is the Microsoft Intune admin center. So that's really good, because it allows organizations or administrator to manage on-prem or in cloud depending on what's their current infrastructure. But I'm curious, how does it work with Microsoft Intune in terms of in terms of monitoring what's going on, the logs? Because in Azure, there's widely used Azure Monitor or Application Insights. But how does it work when it comes to Microsoft Intune and monitoring?
Yeah, with Intune, it's more like real time. When we go into the Intune portal, we are really able to see all of the devices that we manage, and you can actually also see the current location of the device. You know, it's that capable. So you can do various things with the device on a real time basis, as well as Intune provides you good reporting and logging for the actions that you take on the devices and for the devices themselves. We do have log analytics, which we use as part of, you know, all the log capturing, and that's where all the data goes. So yes, Intune is definitely a full-fledged tool, which provides you with everything that you need to be able to monitor and to be able to take action on your devices based on various things that you see as part of your device management.
Yeah, interesting. I wanted to ask also
Thank
about
you.
how do you ensure the devices are industry standard, and then there is a privacy policy that you have to make sure. How do you balance those things? How do you make sure that those happen, that they are compliant?
Yes, because you
Yes.
did mention, Sushita, that you can take control of the device and kind of like remote access it in case, I mean, for the sake of management of the organization, right? So I believe that's what Shetty is trying to aim, like about
Yeah.
industry standard in terms of compliance and
Compliant,
privacy. Is
yeah.
that correct, Shetty?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. You have the capability in Intune to enforce compliance policies. It's really a section in itself or a blade where you can go configure different compliance policies for your systems. Along with that, you also have the security baselines. So you have a place where you can import baselines from different standards, the CMMC standard or your NIST standards. So you can import standards and then apply those to your devices. So there's various ways in which you can control the data and privacy on devices. Including such as policies for compliance and standardization from a baseline standpoint.
There's
Yeah.
so much
I
to learn
know.
about this. I feel like I
I
need to
know.
read more about the documentation of Intune and
Yeah.
check out some of your talks, Sushita. I
Yeah.
think I did mention in my book, Learning Microsoft Azure, which is publishing soon, I did mention a lot about cloud migration and different topics about Azure. And I did mention something about like Intune, in terms of governance, but I didn't really deep dive into the details of it. I just like touch point what it is, but definitely something that I'm curious about, and probably our listeners as well, who haven't worked with it within their projects.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think Defender is a great tool or capability as far as all of that goes from an Intune or
Yes.
Agile standpoint.
Yes, and also I believe Microsoft Intune is also kind of like integrated with Microsoft Intra ID platform now, right? In terms of like
Yes.
authentication and verification. Okay, that's great. Yes.
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, because the way Intune manages devices is by integrating into Entra ID, because that's how it gets to know the users and devices in the environment, and it can facilitate authentication.
Yeah. Agree. And Microsoft Intra ID platform also like it has this hybrid capabilities to like
Yes.
sync with on-prem to cloud and cloud to cloud. So that's really great integration in terms of Microsoft technologies.
That was
Okay.
much necessary, yes.
Yes. Go ahead, Shetty. Yeah,
Yeah.
we're focusing into this interesting topic of
Yeah.
Intune, but we have a lot to learn about
I
Shusheta. So
know.
let's go ahead.
Yeah, I was about to ask you, like, to summarize. Okay, you just get up in the morning. What does your day-to-day activity or this daily routine look like? And then also, how do you get up to date with the current technology? Chains.
Yeah, that's interesting because 24 hours are never enough in the day, right? For people in IT or even other industry areas. I feel in today's world, you have to really be on your toes, keep up with the latest and greatest because the technology landscape is ever changing and ever evolving. So when I wake up in the morning, I obviously start with waking up my dog. That's the fun part. But after that, yes, I do get into work. I have most of my meetings are, spread out across the day. So I'm mostly in meetings as well as trying to juggle work in between those meetings, for the work day. But yes, the day definitely is always busy, trying to cater to different needs of our internal customers. And by that I mean, our hospital staff, business admin staff, as well as our own IT people. So, in a hospital environment, there may be instances where things may break and need a quick fix. So there are fires that I have to put off in my work day. So that happens quite often. However, we try and on a day-to-day basis, we try and improve upon the design, engineering, and implementation of solutions that we have put in place for device management, as well as end user management. So that coupled with trying to learn new things, trying to engage into different events. We have Ignite coming up, so those 3 days my team will be trying to juggle in between work as well as trying to ponder into some of the announcements that would be made as part of the conference. So we will be like all over the place trying to improve each other's knowledge for what's new. And we kind of do that. We are a great team. We brainstorm, and we always like to keep abreast with technology. So we do great from that perspective. But I feel it's really difficult to find the time to dedicate to be able to learn about new things and to find the right resources from where will you learn about what's new. Microsoft has great documentation that definitely helps. We have the tech community, we have our Microsoft community, which has a plethora of knowledge. So I feel since the time I've stepped into collaborating more with the community, it's been easy for me to keep up with the latest because everyone keeps talking about all those new things out there, right? So that makes things easy. So yeah, I mean, I feel on a day-to-day basis, the day just goes by, doing things at work and learning new things. And I mean, by the end of the day, you're almost tired. You're like, oh wow, what a day. But you get the fulfillment. I feel I really enjoy doing what I do throughout the day, and when I go to sleep at night, I'm satisfied, and I look forward to the next day. So that's how I would put my day.
That's amazing to hear, and thank you for sharing. I have to add more into what you said about first about there's so much to learn today, and time is not enough for us to cope up with it. And that's indeed very
Exactly.
true for me, even if I work with Azure every day in my normal consulting job. I write a book about it. I speak about it at conference. I teach about it. So there's always new things to learn. And I do agree with you that finding time, and I think also setting focus on what really matters in a way that technologies that you work with every day or technologies that can help solve the problems that you solve at work every day are relevant, as well as having these awesome people in the community to follow and to share with in terms of like what's really trending. Because for me, working in this field for many years, it's like the technology has really evolved, and it really changed so fast that us technologies working with it needs to cope up in a way that we're not so overwhelmed with it as well. So I think it's finding the balance in these great things that we have in front of us.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I remember Jonah once in the episode we talked about your book that there were parts in your book that you first wrote and then they are not that much relevant anymore, and then you have to revisit the book that part of the book. So yeah.
Yes, that's correct. I was in the previous one of the previous episodes, Sushita. I'm not sure if you have listened to that episode where it was only Chetty and I, and we
I
spoke
did.
about, yeah, you did, yes. We spoke about many things, and I think probably you heard when we discussed about the challenges I had with the book, and then last minute also on its final phase, I had to go back and do some renaming of, like, for example, Azure AD to Microsoft Intra AD, which I wrote like before it got announced. So those evolving changes with technology, not just names, are true indeed happening. And I can relate to that because when I was studying or learning computers, I mean, computer science, and was still new in programming, my first language was like, at the beginning of the internet era, was like Visual Basic, and there weren't any IDE tools back then. I learned how to code my website on a notepad, but now there's so many IDE of tools for developers, to the point that there is Copilot and AI tools. So the world is really changing, with technology, and I don't think many in the society have adapted to it yet. I mean, us technology IT people maybe have, but there are still some people that needs education and are still behind. So it's an interesting topic and world we lived in today.
It definitely is. And I feel the newer generation has access to greater resources and better capabilities where they can easily learn things. That should make, their career progression really easy than what we would have faced back in the day for when the time we started our stuff.
For anyone who watched you or listened to this podcast, how could you picture the overall, like, oh, I can be like that. I can be like Suchita. How could you envision?
Yeah, so when I started my job, my first job, as I mentioned, was with Dell Technologies. And before that, I graduated with a bachelor's degree in electronics engineering. So that wasn't directly computers, but electronics. So that gave me a good exposure to, the electronics of computers, but it wasn't really programming. Although I did have a couple subjects or topics related to programming throughout my 4-year engineering bachelor's degree course, but while studying that, I really was never too intrigued with programming because I found it a little bit too cumbersome, perhaps for the fact that I didn't really have good resources to learn it properly with, or maybe I wasn't taught it well enough. I always had that overwhelming feeling when I was dealing with, any programming language. But I still wanted to get into computers. So I really didn't know how I would do it, was development the only way to get into computers and stuff? I used to question myself. But luckily, when I started my first job with Dell Technologies, that wasn't a programming job. That was a job where they actually trained all of us fresh new hires on the Windows installer technology, and I found that much more manageable for me from getting into an IT field. That wasn't anything that I had to code. However, we do even today we do imbibe a lot of scripting into our automation for various deployments. And scripting is one thing, but coding is like a full-time job. So I did not want to get into coding. Some amount of scripting was still fine with me. And because we got a good training at Dell, I was really comfortable. I got into, the momentum for everything IT and for automation to some level, including the various deployment techniques and tools. And I think that kind of helped. So from then on, I always saw myself as being, in IT, doing something for from like doing something where I would advance my career, but at the same time not have to struggle with trying to learn coding. So I think I was fortunate enough to find the right path, expanding my skill set from the Windows installer to, desktop engineering side of things, which I think is a great blend of where someone can be from a technology standpoint or from an IT standpoint. And I feel it's a great field for women as well, because, you can still be a tech. You still do a lot of high level technology stuff, but at the same time, you're not a full time coder. So I think that helps, and that really, I'm happy to be in the field where I am today, from that standpoint.
Yes, that's great. Thank you for sharing about that. It's really interesting that what you touched in there in terms of like about you choosing the path that you're passionate about without doing the forcing yourself into coding. So I myself, I mean, my tech story, I think those that knows me, they know my tech story from the beginning. I didn't intend to be a developer or programmer. It's just like the destiny led me to get a scholarship in computer science, and I started learning and loving tech, and I became a developer. But I want to highlight what you touch in there in terms of working in tech or working in IT, especially to women, the underrepresented group, that to really see it in a different perspective, that IT or working in tech is not just about programming. And there's a lot of different layers to it in terms of like different career roles and paths, just like what you do. Like Chetty is a front-end developer. I work with development full stack, even in the DevOps and cloud field. And you, Sushita, is expert in your field in terms of endpoint management in your industry. So I want to also like highlight to our audience that working in tech is fun. I can say it from the heart. And I think Sushita and Chetty can testify to that as well. And my advice is to follow your heart and what you really want to do, because there's so many options to fulfill what you want to do within tech. It might be you can work with a low code solution, you can work with development, but there's so many opportunities for both creativity, management, and leadership in the IT field. So it's a great field, because you learn a lot every day. And the more you learn, the more you grow as well, yourself personally and your career. So that's a great story or answer you have shared, Sushita. Thank you for that.
Yeah, sure. I couldn't agree more with your opinions.
Yeah.
So true.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So I was thinking, do we have more questions, Chetty, to ask? Yeah, we have two more, a few more questions. Yes, go ahead, Chetty.
Yeah. Do you have any mentor while working in this field? And on what are your thoughts about having a mentor to help one's career?
So reflecting on my journey, I realized the value of, a mentor, the value that a mentor would have had or could have added, potentially, illuminating my path much earlier. I've never had a real mentor, but, looking at the two of you, I feel a mentor-mentee relationship is really a great one to have. It really would help pave the path for your career success and career progression. But without like a mentor figure in my life, I've learned to draw inspiration from the accomplishments of, people like you both, or individuals that have succeeded in their careers, observing their methods, absorbing their wisdom, or even embracing their success stories. So I always feel the lack of not having had a mentor It may have propelled my career very early on in life. However, I'm really happy for where I am today, harnessing my own abilities and, working towards my success myself. So I'm proud of that as well at the same time. But I feel, someone should have come and told me right early in my career or when I was in my 20s that, hard work, resilience, determination, goal setting, it's all important and it all pays off is what is more important, I think I should say. Because if someone had told me that everything is possible if you just work towards it with full determination, I would have started a long time ago. So yeah,
yes.
I feel a mentor really helps you propel in the right direction. And if you have a chance, you should get a mentor to coach you on your career path. That's my advice to people.
Yes, thank you for that. And a mentorship is something that's very close to my heart, because in spite of my busy schedule, I try my best to like really share knowledge through mentorship or in nonprofit organizations that make a difference, or teach others or help friends in the community that needs my advice and help. And I am also like you, actually. I never had, when I'm starting my career, I never had a real tech mentor, to be honest, like very transparent. But the mentor that I could share to you, both of you and the audience, is my mother, or was my mother. Because when I was growing up, I used to be very shy, scared of people. I knew that I was smart and excelling good in school, but it was my mother that was has this charisma and had set a good example to me of bravery and resilience when I was growing up. And that actually was something that I have brought in with me as an individual or as a person or as a daughter, especially when she passed away and I had to take over the responsibilities of being the breadwinner of the family as the eldest child. So I truly believe that being mentorship doesn't necessarily have to be someone that you got connected with, because not every one of us are lucky to have a good mentor. However, like the people that we follow, the people that we connect to, across the industry are also very good examples, like what you said, Sushita, in terms of finding good mentorship and guidance. And mentorship doesn't need to be just technical as well. It can be non-technical. The soft skills and being resilient and bravery and being courageous in what you want to do in life, speaking up, things like that, those can be mentored and guided as well into another individual and pay it forward when you're already there. So I am really passionate about that, and I'm glad that you touched on this topic. We touched on this topic and you shared your point of view as well, Sushita.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So in relevance to that, I think we're about to end our episode. Like, it feels like a great conversation, tech stuff and inspiring stuff with you, Sushita. But Shetty, before I ask the last question, do you have more questions that you want to catch up asking Sushita?
There are various aspects beyond development. You are a true example for that. Wanted to know for anyone who wants to take such a role like you, what kind of path should they follow?
I would say once you're out of your education, you should take up whatever first tech job you get, because your first job is really where you learn the most. And once you are in tech, you get to learn the basic aspects in your first job. And that will tell you, or that will instill in you your own interests, and you will know your path. So for like someone in endpoint management, where I am today, you may have started your path from being like on the help desk, you know, taking phone calls for customers. But then you graduate into a more technical role where you are a technician, you know, then graduating from your help desk or customer service role, you graduate to a desktop technician role where you are actually now fixing printers on the floor, you know, and from there you can graduate into, you know, more of endpoint management where you are now actually responsible for designing and implementation and engineering of your endpoints. So it is a gradual progression, and you will only know your path once you throw yourself into your first job. Even talking about, you know, development for that matter, you could start with like a QA role. You know, if you feel, you know, you know something about software testing, get into that QA role. From there, it might, you know, get you more visibility into the development side of things. And you can gradually learn all these different programming languages and get into the right language of your choice. You'll probably know while you're doing things, you know, from a testing standpoint for what language you would prefer as a developer, you know, if not be a full stack. So I think to be able to identify what your interests are, you first need to take the first step. So I would say you shouldn't be overwhelmed with IT overall. And you should really take that, you know, stride and get into a tech role and from there find your path.
Yes. Yeah. I like that. I like the advice. Yeah. Baby steps, smart small steps, and then really not be scared to get into IT. I like that advice. So thank you for sharing your advice in terms of the question that Shadi has. Thank you so much. So I have another. I have to add that I do agree also with the what you said about. Take the first job, tech job that you get, because that's where a good starting point where you learn a lot of things. I am a living testimony of that statement that you shared, Sushita, because even though I finished computer science with programming background, because my mother died of cancer when I was very young, I had to take the first available job in my city back then. And to earn money and to support my sisters and brothers. And so I took the first tech job that I had in NetSeek, working as a tech support for an American company. And I did not regret that first job, even though it wasn't a development or programming job, because that first job not just allowed me to earn money to support my family, that also helped me build resilience. It helped me build the interest of troubleshooting and problem solving. And it deepened my interest into learning more what's beyond tech troubleshooting, what's behind these computers, which led me to continue working and finding my path into programming back again, which was the original education that I had. But that's really amazing story that you're saying. I'm very transparent about sharing my own story as well. So how I can relate. So I hope you don't mind if I share.
Yeah, no, it is inspiring. It is motivating. Yes. And, you know, everyone should definitely take inspiration from that.
Yes, that's great. So we come up to the last and final part of our episode. And we usually ask our guests some questions that that we and the listeners can bring back as key takeaways. So my question is, what are your top three advice or tips to fellow women in tech or technologies in the industry?
Yeah, thank you for asking that, because I definitely want to, you know, based on my life experiences, the three top things that I would want to share with our fellow women in tech or even, you know, others in tech is, so firstly, give things a chance. You know, don't shy away, go out of your comfort zone, take that chance. And only after you take the chance, you will know whether, you know, how strong you are. And you will not regret. You will actually be able to get further because you now you know that you have already crossed that bridge of, you know, taking the chance. So that's my first advice. Secondly, I would say one thing leads to another. And so always remember that if you feel overwhelmed of, you know, reaching that destination, or you see hurdles in your path, don't get succumbed by that, because one thing definitely leads to another. You find your next best step and you step on it, and that will lead you to the next one, you know, after that. So you just keep going, I would say, because that's how things work. There's never a proper, complete, concrete recipe for success. It you know, everyone's success stories are different. It's your life. It's you have to be the person to shape your own life. So, you know, just believe in yourself and take that leap and, you know, keep moving. That's kind of my second advice. The third one is, of course, what most of us do currently, and what our newer generations also should do is, you know, always keep learning. Never stop learning, because you have to be able to better cater to your job or to the requirements of your enterprise. You have to be, you know, in touch with latest and greatest, and you have to know what's out there as far as technology goes, so that you know what's the best for your organization and how you can implement it in the best possible way. So always keep learning, and actually you have to make time and effort to be able to learn new things. So, you know, make an effort towards that. It's really essential in today's times, when things are so much, ever evolving, and we have a very a landscape that is ever changing. So learning is the best you can do for your own benefit and for your own career investment.
All right. Thank you so much for those great advice. I love them, especially the last the second and the third one, like following your passion and also leading your life, because it's yours. So I like it, and also keep learning. I like that. Thank you so much for sharing that. Before we finalize, anything else you want to share to the audience, or any upcoming events you're gonna be part of that you want to share to our audience and invite them?
Yes, so I actually, just like on Friday, I presented at the Microsoft Community Days Mexico conference. That was absolutely thrilling and fun, exciting. I presented on a topic related to endpoint management, which I'm absolutely passionate about. As far as upcoming goes, I do have the festive tech calendar that's coming up. I have a session that I'll be doing for that event. That's from our cloud family. And then I also have another event that my session got approved for, which is the 90 Days of DevOps from Michael Cade. So yes, I have a few different things that I need to finish up before the year ends. So it's definitely, you know, something that's exciting and I look forward to. And then coming up next year, I'm trying to submit more sessions for, you know, more community events and conferences. So I'm only hoping to, you know, get more involved with the community here on and collaborate more, because it's an absolutely thrilling learning experience, and I feel it has only made my life easy with keeping up with the latest in technology. So I love that about it. And everyone in the community has been so, you know, so approachable, including yourself, Jonna. So I feel, you know, I would really like to have a great connection and network with, you know, everyone as part of the Microsoft family, and just learn and grow with each other.
That's great. And yes, it's great. And you are welcome to submit a session in my user group. Aside from running this podcast with Shetty, I also organize bi-weekly virtual events in my user group, Azure User Group Sweden. So it's virtual. So if you're interested to speak there, you and share knowledge related to Entune and Azure, feel free to submit a session and the CFP that we have. I can share it on LinkedIn later on. Yes.
Sure,
But
absolutely.
yes, we
Would
would
be
like to
happy
have
to.
you. Yeah, we would like to have you as guest because where that user group is actually, I'm leading it along with another MVP, Håkon Silvernagel in Norway. I'm the MVP for Azure and his MVP for AI. So we kind of like synergize our
Right.
power for communities. It's really a community driven by community leaders like us. And we really try our best to have the opportunity for speakers that submit their session to be inclusive in a way that especially new speakers or underrepresented groups or female speakers that you don't get to see often in meetups and conferences are being highlighted through our community. And it's free for everybody. So we devote our free time on weekends. The speakers are devoting their free time. There are also MVPs and experts speaking in big conferences, but they devote 1 hour of their time biweekly to share knowledge. And as a leader and founder of that group, it really inspires me when you see these people being inspired and sharing knowledge as well. So I love the collaboration. And Chetty and I have been working also now with our new mentorship. So I'm really excited about that as well.
Yeah, amazing.
Yes. Yeah. So Chetty, anything else? I know you have a lot in your mind.
Yeah.
I'm overtaking lots of questions. I'm sorry about
No
that.
worries. I'm glad that we are able to catch up with Shikita's story, follow her path to take and her role in endpoint management now. But finally, where can people reach you, or what are the medias that you can be reached out for any questions related to endpoint management, or it could be Azure related in your area expertise? So can you share any?
Yes, I would be more than happy to help people with, any questions or collaborate on technology topics. So people can reach me on Twitter. My handle, it goes by my name, Sucheta Govait, but the handle is SMG underscore 0927. So yes, definitely Twitter, because I'm more active there, as well as on LinkedIn. I have my proper name out there, Sucheta Govait. So, just look me up. You should be able to find me. So, yeah, I think those two platforms are the best to reach out and collaborate.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing a lot of great technical insights about what you do, Sushita. So we really, Shadi and I really appreciate it and your time as well. And also to our listeners that are listening to us today on this recording, thank you so much for your time. I hope that you have learned a lot about Sushita's story and the topics that we discussed today. If you are interested to share your story as well and join us, feel free to reach out to me and Shadi on LinkedIn, and you are welcome to be on the spotlight as well. So, thank you so much for listening, and feel free to follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and other channels that we have for this episode and the previous one and the upcoming ones. So, have a great day, everyone, and thank you, Sushita and Shetty.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Thank
Everyone,
you.
thanks for having us.